Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you. Hope you're having a great day.
Mm-hmm.
We got good stuff coming up for you. A little bit of entertainment news right around the corner. We're also going to get into the inventor of karaoke passing away, and we have a list of songs for people who can't sing.
Think they can't sing.
And 10 things about women men didn't know until moving in with one. All of that coming up. We'll get into those. We'll talk about our schedule for the day, and we'll have some good stories of the day, including some local events for you, all coming up.
Good.
But we kick things off on Thursdays with our good friends over at the Southland County Humane Society and our Pet of the Week. Tim was not able to join us today, but he was nice enough to send over the Pet of the Week and some other information.
All right.
So I'm going to go ahead and read through that for you right now. Just reading right from Thursday, Tim's notes here. For our Pet of the Week, Tick has been with us for 274 days now. The other fully sponsored dogs who have been with us for over 200 days are Gator, Daisy, and Scarf. They have found forever homes.
Oh, good for them.
That's wonderful news. That's really, really cool.
Tick is a dog.
Yeah. Let me double check here because I got Tick pulled up. Yeah, Tick is a dog. Tick is a Mastiff mix. She's 3 years old. She's got a beautiful brindle coat. She is spayed and neutered and, of course, has her chip. And it says here, hello, my name is Tick. I am 3 years old, mixed breed that came to the Southland County Humane Society as a stray. I do take some time to get comfortable with new people and would need some patience. However, once I trust somebody, I am very sweet. I do have barrier reactivity to other dogs, so a meet and greet would be a good idea. I've gotten along well with calmer, larger breed dogs and do well one-on-one. Awkwardly, but do well.
Well, how many of us don't awkwardly interact with others?
I mean, I relate with this dog. All you need to do is go online and fill out an adoption application. Once approved, we can set up an appointment for a meet and greet with you and your dog. Kitten season is now upon us. For more information, please check their website and note that they do not take in feral cats at the shelter. The next fundraiser event will be the 4th annual Riding for Rescues Fun Run. While this is not an official Southland County Humane Society event, all the proceeds are donated to them. The event will be held May 4th, beginning at the Junkyard Bar and Grill with registration at 8 a.m. This is a day-long event that includes area ATV, UTV run, meal, entertainment, and a great time. There will also be raffles and prizes. Mark your calendars and watch for future details. You can also get more information on their Facebook page, Riding for Rescues. Great group. They do some really good work. Employment opportunities. They are currently accepting applications for a director of operations and an office coordinator. For more information on either of these openings, go to their website and click on the far right tab where you can also fill out that online application for either position or both.
Nice.
And at this point, they are closing for applications for animal care technician due to a number of recent people hired. So that seems like good news. And finally, due to a large amount of volunteer applications, they are also closing this process until further notice. So they're good on a volunteer. So that's really good, too.
Awesome.
They want to thank everyone who has applied, attended their events, or donated to the shelter and supported them in their mission. There are a ton of great animals over at the Humane Society, all waiting for their forever home. Find out about Tick and many more of these great animals at SWCHS.com. SWCHS.com. I encourage you to do so. You can also email them if you'd like. SWCHS at SWCHS.com. Give them a call, 715-423-0505, 423-0505. And be sure to follow them on social media. It's a great way to keep up to date on all the good things that they are doing over there.
Yes.
And again, a big thank you to Tim sending that information over to us. We appreciate it. Any way we can get our Pet of the Week in there, we want to do it.
Absolutely. And having a pet in your life can make such a huge difference.
Yeah. And be listening every Thursday for our Pet of the Week. A gigantic shout out to our great friends over at TJ's Auto and Collision Center. We got trucks, large variety of trucks, from a small SUV to a work truck. We got them all. Stop out today and drive home with a new truck today. Visit our friends at TJ's Auto and Collision Center. Big appreciation to them being a partner with us here at the station and sponsoring the Humane Society. Big thank you. They put back into their community over there. Let us dive into a little bit of entertainment news, Melissa.
All right.
This is an interesting one. A couple of interesting ones here. So they're making a new Matrix movie, it looks like.
Really?
Yeah, Warner Brothers announced yesterday that a fifth Matrix movie is in the works. It'll be written and directed by Drew Goddard. He's the guy who wrote Cloverfield, World War Z, The Martian. One of the original creators, Lana Wachowski, will executive produce. It's still pretty early on, so there aren't any plot details, like if it'll be a direct sequel or if it'll have any of the returning characters. There isn't even...
Keanu Reeves going to be in it?
Yeah, yeah. An executive says, quote, "Drew came to us with a new idea that we all believe would be an incredible way to continue the Matrix world by both honoring what Lana and Lily Wachowski began over 25 years ago and offering unique perspective based on his own love of the series and the characters." I really, really love the Matrix movies. I thought they were really cool. I enjoyed them. There's plenty of opinions about them. But one thing that you can't deny is what the Wachowskis did with Bullet Time. When the Matrix first came out, the first trailers, everybody's freaking out about Keanu Reeves on a roof bending backwards and the bullets flying by. What the Wachowskis did with that was change the game of cinema. They took close to 1,000 cameras and just as an example, and they had them circling Keanu, and then they just took shots and then just played that through. And so that's what Bullet Time is. And it wasn't long after the first trailer, the movie hadn't even been released, and it wasn't long after that, everybody's doing Bullet Time. Everybody's doing that in movies. You still see it all the time in movies and TV shows. To me, when I think of the Matrix and the legacy it has, that's the first thing I think of. And an idea to open up chances to do more work like that seems like a good idea. Continuing the story doesn't seem horrible. I think that one of the things that they've got to learn about these things, though, is a retelling. The remake doesn't work. When's the last remake people lost their minds for? You know, but you look at what they did with The Color Purple, where they didn't necessarily try to remake it. They tried to reimagine it and it turned it into a musical. Things like that seem to be more and more along the lines of what people want.
Matrix the musical?
I just thought of it, too. I was like, yeah, yeah. I am the one. I am the one. Yeah, like it actually might not be. No, that'd bob horribly. Don't do that. I'm curious if the other thing too, usually when if you see the originals, the people that created it as a producer on it or something, that's usually a really good sign.
It's a good sign.
Doesn't mean a whole, you know.
Yeah, I don't think it's gonna fly without Keanu Reeves, though.
You need both. You need Morpheus. You need Neo. You need him. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree. That's the other thing that gets lost in the shuffle too with a lot of this, especially when producers get in the room. They believe that, well, if I have an actor that looks and looks just like Keanu Reeves, we'll be fine.
No way.
There are certain actors that bring certain people to movies. Mm-hmm. We've talked about a couple of them today. There's just something about them that you're always going to go see their movies. Mm-hmm. I never really thought about this, but with Bruce Willis retiring from acting, and I've always thought of Bruce as one of my favorite action stars. He's my second favorite action star. I didn't realize this. Keanu Reeves is probably my third favorite action star. Mm-hmm. And I never really thought of him as one, even though the majority of his movies are action movies.
Yeah, a lot of them, especially the later ones.
The reason I say that is because he's one of these people that if you see Keanu in a movie and he knows Taekwondo, he learned Taekwondo to be able to do that.
For the movie, yeah.
Yeah, I really admire actors that do that, and I think it's so much more believable. It adds so much more to the movie. That should be interesting.
Absolutely.
See what happens. This is an interesting one, Melissa. John Oates is releasing a new album, but the title doesn't mean what you probably might think it might mean. The title of the album of John Oates is called Reunion, but it has nothing to do with Daryl Hall and them reuniting, Hall and Oates or anything. Mm-hmm. He released the title track yesterday, which actually co-wrote with Jim Croce's son, AJ Croce. John says, quote, I began to think about the true definition of the word. It came together when my 100-year-old father told me that he was making ready to be together with my mother, who had passed away some time ago. I wanted to write about the idea of reconnecting with the most essential part of our soul and our spirit. We recorded it in Nashville with some of my best friends and were able to capture the truth as I envisioned it to be. He also kicked off a solo tour in New York. Reunion comes out on May 17th. Now Daryl Hall has been doing a lot of stuff over the recent years, especially on like country channels. He's got a studio show that he does where he invites a guest over and they do some of their songs, some of his songs. It's very popular. It's done very well, and a lot of good artists have been on there. But John Oates, I don't know the last time. I'm not trying to be mean. I just don't know the last time we've heard of him, other than when these two have been bickering back and forth a little bit.
Well, and Daryl's not a spring chicken. He's 77.
I was wondering. These guys getting older, man. That should be interesting. And good on him for releasing. A very interesting place to write from, too.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, whether this does well or not, I got to imagine that a big part of this is, for one, him getting back out there. I imagine this may be his last tour. And the healing you can do from songwriting, from just creating.
Right.
I've written probably at least 20 some songs in my life. Nobody will ever see a darn one of them, but I think that I can see some therapy through doing that kind of thing, that kind of work.
Well, and it's what he did. That's what he did with his life. Yeah. So continuing it, that's obviously a passion. Mm-hmm. It's not just in it for the money.
We will check in with our partners real quick. We'll come back and we're going to get into some more fun stuff coming up on the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Melissa and James hanging out with you. Welcome back to the show. Hope you're having a good one out there. Thanks for joining us. I got a good one here, Melissa, and I actually got this, I think, the week that you went on vacation and was hanging on to it, because I know that as a singer and somebody that sings, and I appreciate and really enjoy your voice, I thought that this would be a good contrast between you and I, a guy who cannot sing. I can sing talk. I can do that whole thing. I could do that fairly well because I have some rhythm and I know music fairly well. But I would take a lot of training to really get me to be able to sing. When I was auditioning for Cabaret, Martha did a really nice job of giving me some notes and was really helping me to where I think I could have pulled that part off. But the character I was playing doesn't have a solo, really, or a whole lot of singing. So I don't think that it would have been too much of a stretch for me. But as an actor, I want to be able to do everything, and I want to be able to do musicals. Mm-hmm. So I've been working and training at that for a couple of years and haven't really improved very much. But it's nice to know songs that are in your range, maybe, when it comes to karaoke.
That makes a difference. It does.
Last month, the inventor of karaoke passed away. He was a Japanese businessman named Shigetaka Nagoshiya, and he lived 100.
Wow.
He invented the first karaoke machine in 1967 after one of his employees made fun of his singing voice. It was originally called the Sparko Box.
The Sparko Box. Oh, I love that. I love that so much.
You guys want to go to the old Sparko Box? You want to do some singing? Let's do it.
I think we need a bar
called
the Sparko Box.
Absolutely, we do. We absolutely
can we,
do.
Can we just call the Lois Canton Theater that on karaoke nights?
Oh, please.
The Sparko Box?
Yes, please.
Hey, Gretchen.
Yes. We're going to see Gretchen next week. We got to bring this up with her.
You need to bring that up.
Nagoshi never patented his invention, but his daughter says that never bothered him. Quote, he felt a lot of pride in seeing his idea evolve into a culture of having fun through song around the world.
Wow.
When's the last
time
you heard somebody say that?
No kidding.
I would have.
And something that is, internationally loved
or
hated.
I hope this person lived a good life and had a nice income, but I cannot imagine the money that they would have made off of this.
No kidding.
In his honor, someone did a survey and conducted some research to determine 30 best karaoke songs for people who feel they can't sing.
Okay.
We got the top 10. Here they are. Like at number 10, Just the Way You Are from Bruno Mars.
Okay.
Hmm. Oh, because he doesn't really, in that one, he doesn't go really too high or too low or anything. It's pretty set tone.
Middle range.
Yeah. I could see that. I could see, you know, doing that one. All right. Mm-hmm. Summer of 69 from Bryan Adams.
Summer of 69. Yeah. Everybody knows that song.
Yeah. Not an overly powerful singer. Bryan Adams, a good singer. And so is Bruno. Bruno Mars is a great singer.
Mm.
But
in
those particular songs, they don't go too high, too low, or anything like that. So, you know, that fear, like the Aha song, Take On Me. And you're fearful of that one note that only one person that can do.
Right.
And number 8, Bohemian Rhapsody from Queen.
Oh, yes.
That seems like it's...
It's almost like a talking, singing song.
Yeah, yeah. When I think of Queen, the first thing I think of course, is Freddie Mercury. And I'm like, oh, God, I don't want to do a Freddie Mercury song. Freddie was a great, great, legendary singer. But that had a lot of fun with his singing. In a song like that, you're right, Melissa. There's a lot of talking parts. And let's be honest, you do this song at like 10 o'clock at night or something, everybody's going to be singing along with you.
Right.
You're probably not even going to be heard
alone.
That much. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I Will Survive from Gloria Gaynor.
And part of the reason for that is because it's so well known.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah. I wouldn't have thought of that.
And
yeah.
Everybody will sing along with you, too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Dancing Queen from ABBA.
Another one that's very well known. Mm. And it doesn't go super high or low.
Hmm. Wannabe from the Spice Girls comes in at number 5.
That's funny.
Yeah, that one. That's one where it's a little more divisive, I think. It gets a little
just
more of the crowd.
Because it's the Spice Girls.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's 100%, yes. Now, as we're getting to the top 5 here, one of the things that I wanted to do, Melissa, is do you have like any advice for people when it comes to doing karaoke or just singing in general? Not to put you on the spot. I don't mean to do that, but
knowing the song is probably the biggest crux of being able to sing into a microphone. Hmm. If you know the song front to back and you can sing it like without the accompaniment, you'll nail it at karaoke.
Hmm. I like that. Yeah, yeah. At number 4, Love Shack. Love Shack. The B-52.
The most hated karaoke song ever.
It's
in
a
my
Love
opinion.
Shack. Bye bye.
I hate that song. And I sang it in the band. I was
wondering. Okay. Yeah, I thought you mentioned that before.
Oh, yeah, because everybody knows it's the only song people know by the B-52s if they don't know, if they're not a B-52 fan.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. At number 3, Don't Stop Believin' from Journey. That seems like a little more like a tougher one to me. Like to me, it does. Just because at the end, when he really belts it out at the end of it. And Steve Perry, like one of the bigger, like greater singers we've ever heard, I would think. I'm not an expert at this stuff or anything, but I'm not a big fan of Journey or Steve Perry. But I get it. The guy's got a heck of a voice.
Hmm.
Number 2 is probably my number 1 of songs I would never do in karaoke. Living on a Prayer from Bon Jovi.
Oh! I am a Bon Jovi fan, so I do like that song, and I think I've sung that at karaoke.
That seems like, I don't know if any of these are easy. I couldn't do an instrumental easy in karaoke, but it does seem like one that would be more in people's range.
Yes, and, you know, familiar. It's a story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a story song. So, everybody's going to sing with you on the chorus.
Whoa, right.
Living on a prayer.
It's where, as the karaoke person, you get to do the thing that we all love to do where you put the mic in the crowd. You know,
yep.
you don't do the refrain.
Just hold
you do,
it out
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's fun. That's fun to do. There's no getting around that. That's fun to do. Even as an MC on stage, that's fun to do sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a good one. Let's see. And number 1 on the list, I feel a bad, Melissa. Sweet Caroline from Neil Diamond.
Another of the most awful songs to hear at karaoke.
Yeah, there's.
But to be fair, somebody who is not a singer can pull that song off.
Well, and it does seem like that, because that one I've heard a lot in karaoke, and it always seems like one of those ones that the person who was kind of pushed up there, and really didn't want to do it or something, and they're doing it, and they're not really sweet and
bah, but then bah, the crowd bah. Yeah, then the crowd jumps in.
Yeah.
Because they're gonna. You can't help it. Even I can't help it, as much as I hate that song.
So it does seem like a theme here. And to your point, your really good point about knowing the song, the familiarity of these. There's no, you know, B-sides here. These are all hits.
Yep. Because the caveat to knowing the song is you need to know the verses. Like, everybody knows the choruses to most, if not all, of these songs we just listed.
Yeah.
But if you don't know the verses... And I've done this. I got up there and I sang a song. I didn't know the verses at all. And after I was done, and I just tried to make them up. And I came and I sat down by my friends. I was like, was I even close? Nope. Did it sound okay? Not really. Okay. Well, got to work on that one some more.
So do you have a go-to song in karaoke, Melissa? Like, you know, you're going up there. Yeah.
It's been so long since I've been going regularly to karaoke. I used to have kind of a list that I always went to. I'd say probably now my go-to song is Broken Hearted by Carmen. Just because it's not super well known. It's a fun song. It's a danceable song, but it's one that is catchy and people do recognize it, so then they kind of get into it. The thing that I've always fallen back on for karaoke is you need to pick songs that people know and like for them to interact with you on the song. If you get up there and you sing something that nobody knows by Gordon Lightfoot, they're going to ignore you.
Yeah, yeah. And it, that's a really good point, too. I for me, at least, when I'm thinking of the karaoke thing, I want to go up there and have some fun. I want everybody else to have fun. If you're going up there and you've always wanted to be a singer and this is your moment, I don't know if it's going to land the way you want it to. And that's not about you as a singer. That's more about your audience. They're not going there to see a concert. They're going there to see some fun. They're going there. Basically the reason people watch the first round of American Idol and shows like that.
And one thing that people honestly even enjoy are the bad singers. They like seeing somebody get up there and totally, not totally bomb on a song, but do their best and still not, you know, hit it at a 10.
You're so right about that.
You get up there and you perform at a 5, but you're a fun entertainer, they're still going to love it. It doesn't matter how well you sing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And enjoy yourself.
The one that isn't on that list, which is probably somewhere in the top 50, I'm going to guess, is What's Up by Four Non Blondes, because I hear that every time I go to karaoke. I've heard it done well a few times, and then I've also heard it bombed horribly.
Oh, yeah. I've heard that one pretty bad, yeah.
I can usually tell in the first, I don't know, 3 lines of the song if I need to just get up and go to the bathroom.
Yes.
Yes. Or maybe take a walk around the block.
I want to say, no, it was a Sheryl Crow song. All I want to do is have fun. I'll never forget it. It was at an old bar that's not even here anymore. It's been torn down, but at Charlie's, they used to have karaoke nights around here. Old longtime listeners in the area will know what I'm talking about. And it was one of those nights where it's like midnight and the karaoke's still going on. And we're sitting up front of the table, and this lady goes up there and wants to do the Sheryl Crow. All I want to do is have fun. And she goes up there, and you could tell, like, she's in the moment. She is going to give you a show. She goes up there, and it was just rough. It was bad. She was trying to do it off of memory, and it wasn't working. So then she tried to jump in, but she couldn't keep up with the teleprompter. And it was just the worst part, embarrassing wise. We're right up front, and she's basically staring at us the whole time. So I wanted to get up and go grab a beer, but I felt rude. I felt
I felt like
it was too obvious.
Be there to support her.
Well, and as a performer, you know, even if they're doing a bad job up there, you want to support them.
It takes guts to get up there.
Yeah, yeah. So I just stood there and just kind of like nursed my beer. Waited for that song to end.
But I bet you some Sheryl Crow songs are on that list, because she's actually a pretty easy singer to do.
I would think that one in particular, too. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
Let's hear your favorite songs to go to in karaoke. We'd love to hear that. Or if you think like songs that nobody should ever do in karaoke. Or
yes. Ones that you hate.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's a more common thread.
Good one. Good. Very good one. 715-424-2600. Listening on the Civic Media app. Thank you. And you're just a touch or two away. Call up and join us. We'll come back with you after our news break here on The Morning Show at WFHR. Hey! Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you. Hey! I could do this one. I could do this one at karaoke. Yeah, I could just let me just do the hey part.
Just the hey part?
Yeah. I think I'd kill it in one of these bands where you do the stomping. I got big feet, Melissa. I can stomp. Musically, I am a great stomper. We got to get into this one right here, Mel. Some of these are so funny and so true. And someone asked men to name things they didn't know about women until they moved in with one. And we have some of the highlights here. What I hope comes out of this list is a little more understanding for each other and a little more of we are a lot more alike than we realize. Mm-hmm. And just some fun. Hopefully we have some fun. Like, just like cats, they naturally gravitate to the warmest parts of the house. Quote, I'm honestly unsure if she loves me or just my excess heat. Yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
They take showers with boiling water. I've never seen this done. Oh, yeah? Okay.
I do.
I've lived with a couple of women, and I've never seen that one done. Oh. I have seen, like, the old baths. I dated a girl who had one of those old baths, and she would take hot.
Tub.
Oh, but now that I think about it, it was really hot water she put in there. Huh. Okay. They never finish their drinks. I find two cups of half-drunken coffee or drinks around the house every day, a couple times a week.
I would think that that'd be a more guy thing.
It's more of a guy thing. That's definitely more of a guy thing. Yeah.
Leaving dirty dishes somewhere.
I'm guessing the guy might have forgotten. He left. It just blamed her. Yeah. This is one that I think most of us, most guys know once you've lived with a woman. She takes her bra off at the end of the day the same way I take my belt off. And the force of 1,000 suns and a sigh of relief, and nothing is going to get her to put that back on. She is done for the day. She is not going out. She is not doing any other things outside of the house.
Word.
Women have a million black hair ties and also none at the same time. Like, yes. Never when they need one.
Right. I know I have a bazillion of them, but can I find one when I need it? No.
I feel like that might stem from the fact that women don't have pockets.
Very good fact.
Can we start giving women pockets, please?
Please.
Equal pay, pockets, and just a handful of things we need to make
starting.
Up on.
We're making progress.
Yeah.
But it's still like somebody compliments you on your dress. Thanks. It's got pockets.
That's
the most common response you'll hear.
that's it's almost sad. It's just, you know. Mm-hmm. They have that a 5 foot tall, 100-pound woman can take up the entire king size bed. That's not just women. That's toddlers. That's animals. That's
pets. Yeah.
Yes. That there's a lot of things that could do that. You get a big bed and you think you have room, and then you realize you don't. You don't.
No.
How long it takes to put on makeup? A guy said he never saw his mom do hers and didn't realize it's a whole thing. How did you avoid that?
Well, it depends. I would think that in today's day, especially, women are actually moving away from wearing a ton of makeup.
Yeah.
I mean, although I do have to say for my boyfriend, he's, I think, stunned every time. He's like, let's go out. And it takes me like 5 minutes to get ready as opposed to an hour and a half.
Yeah. I personally love that trend. What I love the most about it is women made the trend. Women decided to do it.
We are embracing us.
Yeah. From my perspective, I feel like I've never seen a woman who didn't look better, just going, you know, more natural or a light touch or whatever. Not that I am my opinion matters at all. It doesn't. Yours is what matters. That's all that matters. But I just, you know, throwing my 2 cents out there, a cent and a half, really.
And to each their own.
You know,
if you like wearing makeup and you feel empowered by it, by all means, go for it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. I will put on a ton of makeup if I have to for stage purposes. That's about it.
Yeah. Same here.
Come on, James. I know you wear eyeliner.
A little blush. Little blush. The hair gets everywhere. A guy's toe was hurting, so he took his shoe off and found a single hair wrapped around it, cutting off the circulation. That's it. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. If you have long hair, you know, if it's, I mean, longer than your ears, mm-hmm. it will be everywhere. But only to be rivaled by your pets.
Yes.
There's more Kevin hair in this house than Melissa hair.
I could see that. And I'll say this, too. That ain't just women. You know, you'll know if I've been in your house.
Well, your hair is technically longer than your ears.
Mm. And it is very, like, you. One of my single hairs, you're going to know that came from James. It's all funky looking. It's curled. Common area guests can see must be spotless. Their personal space that cannot be seen by guests, absolute disaster zone.
I think this varies from woman to woman.
Mm. I actually would have thought that's more of a guy thing. Like the whole, hey, my house is clean, just don't look under my bed. Please don't look under my bed. Don't
do
open that closet.
Open that door.
Yeah, don't open that door. Whatever you do, do not open that door. That kind of thing. And finally, go ahead.
I would say it also has a lot to do with time. You know, we don't have time to spend cleaning every single area of our house because we're too busy working trying to pay bills.
Mm-hmm. And pillows everywhere. More pillows than a human being you realize the human being could own. Yes. Yeah, that I haven't run into that one.
It's necessary to have a lot of pillows. Mm. It is. You just gotta.
I did have an ex who kept her stuffed animals, though. And they had to be on the bed. And my God, there was a lot of them. there was a lot of them.
Was this in your teens, James?
No. No. Early 20s. And
maybe it's a good reason why that person is an ex.
Yeah. Well, there's a number of reasons. I'm sure she could say the same about me.
Not that I have anything against stuffed animals. I honestly wish my boyfriend would get me a stuffed animal.
Mm-hmm. Note there. Note. A nice. Man, I hope he's listening because as a guy, that is like manna for us when we get a note. Oh, she wants this. She likes this. I don't know. When birthdays and anniversaries come around, it's when your brain goes blank and you're like, what do they like? Here's something purple. It's probably noteworthy. It's probably a helpful tip. We will take a time out. We'll come back after checking in with our partners around and we'll have some more fun. Melissa and James taking you through your morning right here at WFHR. Welcome back, everyone. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James take you to the top of the hour.
LA proved too much for the man.
We hope you're having a good one out there. Thanks for joining us on this Friday Eve. Mm-hmm. We'll have Seth calls it, the James Gang tomorrow. Seth and Melissa will get you ready for your weekend with us. We'll have some fun tomorrow. It's going to be a good show. And plenty of other great things going on tomorrow with our star of the day from Culver's. Be listening for that. We'll play a famous TV show theme song. Call
That's
up.
Right. And you can win some free Culver's.
Yeah. I encourage you to do that, everybody. And, of course, we want to let you know that we'll have our El Cafe birthday and anniversary club where we'll celebrate all weekend long. Having fun with that. Right now, got a new thing out there that a lot of people are talking about, Melissa. The company Del Monte is behind this. They announced the new pipsqueak fruit earlier this month, but they flew under most people's radars. This new, adorable, tiny, single-serving pineapple just made their debut. They are called Precious Honey Glow, and they only weigh about a pound or two. They say that's around the size of a normal one. So they're small enough for a couple people to eat in one sitting. Or if you're a fan, you could polish one off yourself.
Pipsqueak fruit?
Yeah, they're supposed to be a little sweeter. So if your issue is pineapples aren't sweet enough, problem solved. They say they came up with them to reduce food waste. And because more of us live alone now, 28% of American households are occupied by a single person.
That is true. And a whole pineapple is a lot.
Yeah. For now, at least, you probably won't see them in local grocery stores. They're only available online through a company called Melissa's Produce.
That's funny.
That is kind of funny, right? Now, I got to try one of these. I'm a big pineapple fan. I love pineapples. So I just want to try.
Pineapples are delicious. They take a long time to grow, though, don't they?
Yeah, yeah. I learned a lot about that out in California from a lot of the farmers out there. Yeah, I never knew that before. They look good. I'm curious how much if they taste just like pineapples, to be honest. You know, sometimes when they make things smaller.
Another fruit, yeah.
I'm curious. I definitely want to try one of these, though.
Yeah, I went to their website, and I'm trying to find it. I'm not seeing it yet.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. So it does say that they're available online at melissa.com. It's melissaas.com, or melissa with an s.com.
Yes.
So if you go there, you might be able to find it. I had never heard of that company
before.
Oh, they got what?
Pink glow pineapples. The pineapple's pink inside.
Interesting. Ooh, I got to try that too. I'm going to have to check out some of this produce.
I, of course, have noticed Melissa's produce because, I mean, it's her name.
Yeah, yeah.
So it kind of stands out to me.
I'd definitely like to try some of that. That does seem good.
Yeah, they're cute. Mm. They're petite and tiny.
We also had this one brought to us from a listener the other day, and I thought it was a really good one, Melissa, because with an election year and what we had going on in this past election, some people were wondering, what does it mean to vote uninstructed?
Yes.
That term has been thrown a lot in the last 48 hours, but not everybody knows what that means. Going to mylwv.org, as it's written here, the presidential preference primary is when voters choose one candidate from the preferred political party's list of presidential candidates. The results inform the party when they selected their presidential nominee for the presidential election in November. You may have heard about voting uninstructed this April. What does it mean? As a voter, you have options. You can vote in whichever party's primary you choose and have the option to vote uninstructed under either party to let the parties know that the choices you have been provided do not align with your personal values, or the parties have not yet built a strong enough case for why their selected candidates should get your vote.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that more and more people are becoming aware of and taking advantage of.
Yeah. Well, and one thing here in Wisconsin, the two top candidates in each party have already secured enough delegates to win their party's nomination. So it's not like you were putting that in jeopardy in any way. Not that we have anybody to vote for in either of those parties.
Mm-hmm.
But specifically here in Wisconsin, I believe that was a almost a protest vote.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because of what's happening over in Israel and Palestine and Gaza.
Mm. And this is a way for us to let these politicians know how we feel.
Yeah.
Yep. It's
getting your voice heard.
Yeah. And it, oftentimes one of the only ways they will hear us, unless, of course, you are a business that has money. That's an important part of this. And I think one of the things that stands out in a year like this is it's not. I not ever to speak for anybody else, but speaking for myself and a lot of the people I have talked to, it is not so much the options we have, it is that we don't have more options. It is that the options we had, just looking at this before these two candidates were, you know, we found out these are going to be the two candidates. When you had other candidates running, none of these options seemed great to a lot of people out there. And when we're talking about one of the most important, if not the most important job in the free world, it should be a lot tougher than it is. It should be not only should our standard be higher, but, you know, the idea of the candidates we have, it should be tough for us to decide. It should be difficult for us to decide.
We should have good options.
Yes.
As opposed to, well, you know, this is the lesser of two evils. Yeah. How long have we been doing that in politics?
I genuinely think pretty much every presidential election I've ever voted on, it's been that. And I've been voting since I was 18, and I am 47. And people are getting really, really sick and tired of that. And there's a lot of dangers in that. And the biggest one to me is
apathy.
Not caring.
Right.
Just not caring.
And not getting involved.
I don't think, obviously our divisiveness needs to stop and people need to stop acting like children, and that's all. We've talked about that quite a bit. But the thing that worries me the most in this year and that I've seen happening is people not caring. And it's not caring about one side or the other. It's not caring in general. Mm-hmm. And that is a dangerous place. So it's why I want to cover topics like this. When you do have questions out there, we want to address them. Keep in mind, we are a freedom station. We are a democracy station. We are in nobody's pocket. We take no sides. We are about democracy. That's what we are. And if you're with that, then you're on our team. Then you're with us on this.
And I just want to put out a side note there quickly that part of what I believe is wrong with politics is the influx of all of this money coming from these groups. Politics should be publicly funded. Everybody that's running for office that meets the requirements should get the same amount of money. They shouldn't be able to get it from, oh, well, this person is going to give me all this money because I'm going to toe the line for them. That's not what it's about.
I get the chance to speak with Senator Teston and Representative Krug once a month, and I have to say that one of the things that I've noticed in all the politicians I've talked to in my lifetime and in this job, one of the things that stands out to me is a guy like Representative Krug, and I'm using him as an example. Not that Scott and I see eye to eye on everything politically by any means, but he is a guy who has a day job, and it shows. He has to balance both. And
in touch with his constituents, though.
Yes, yes. Whether I've agreed with him or not, one thing I would never question is his commitment to the job, his commitment to this community. I've talked to him enough. I've seen him eye to eye enough. I've seen it in his face. And part of the thing I also see in his face is somebody who is very overworked. and I don't wish that on him or any politician, but you get what you get with this. You get a guy who is hungry, is still fighting for us, is even after 10 years of doing it and everything.
And I don't want politicians that agree on everything. I want politicians that disagree, because all of us disagree on things. We all have different views, and we need that reflected in politics.
I feel the same way about politics as I do dating. I don't want to date myself. I don't. I have no interest in that at all.
That's good, James.
I understand that I don't know everything, and that my opinion is not the only one that matters. I live in a country with millions and millions and millions of other people, and their opinions matter too.
Yes, and we need that representation in our politics.
Sometimes we're not going to agree on things, and it's not about you.
But it's okay.
It's about the greater good. It's about something that's bigger than all of us.
Yes.
And keeping democracy ringing, keeping it rolling.
And hopefully we can all agree on that.
Yeah. Looking at some good stories. Let's look at our schedule. Then we'll look at some good stories of the day. We got great stuff lined up for you today, everybody. Be sure to join us from 3 to 4 for a really wonderful Midday Magazine. In part one, we're going to talk about Run the Rapids, the 5K walk run coming up April 27th. Yeah. We've got some great friends in with us. JR Seabrook going to be with us. We haven't talked to JR in a long time. That's going to be
there
cool.
We go.
Our good friend Matt Zakowski is going to be with us. And Carrie Minow is going to be with us as well.
Excellent.
And in part two, UW Extension's Laura Huber, 4-H educator, going to be with us. We love talking 4-H, love talking to Laura. That's always a good conversation. Looking forward to that. A little bit later today on WIRI, let me look outside real quick. Yeah, we're probably not having softball today. We are probably not going to have it.
Probably going to be a little sloppy up there in the field.
There is a part of me that kind of, like, if it wasn't for injuries, I kind of would like to see them try to play in this. Yeah. I think it would be fun. Me and my friends, we used to try so hard to get a game in this kind of weather. It never worked.
Tough mutter for softball.
Man, there is nothing like trying to run the bases and you feel like you're running on ice. It's rough.
Ice skates the whole way.
Looking at some local good stuff going on. Every first and third Thursday of the month, our great friend Pete Ravel and Four on the Floor will perform for you at the Central Wisconsin Cultural Center at 2651 A Street south of Wisconsin Rapids. They hit that stage from 2 to 4. Free admission, donations accepted for the musicians, and it's a great chance to not only take in some amazing jazz, but some really good stories. Pete is an MC. He is good.
He's a good storyteller.
He really is. Check that out.
And you'll also get some great art while you're there. You you can walk the gallery and see what they've got on display.
Mm-hmm. So many of our great local artists have gifts for you that you can purchase out there. It is mm-hmm. the definition of buying local and supporting local.
Absolutely.
Check out Pete Revelle, Four on the Floor.
Unique things. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Yeah, Pete Revelle, Four on the Floor, 2 to 4, today over at the Central Wisconsin Cultural Center. Our friends at the United Way have their Community Shred Day coming up.
Oh, Shred Day.
I didn't know which United Way event I wanted to touch on.
There's so many.
There really is. The Shred Day event will be Wednesday, April 10th, less than a week from now, from 9 to 11, over at Prevail Bank parking lot from 1601 at 1601 Lincoln Street. Mm-hmm. Head on over there with your sensitive documents and know that they will be shredded securely.
Yes,
each individual can shred up to 18 by 10 boxes for free, and they ask for a kindly $5 donation after that.
Yep, and once they're full, so try to get there early.
Yeah, find out more at uwswac.org and be sure to follow the United Way on social media. It's a great follow, great way to keep up to date and all the things in your community.
They're also holding their book drive, so if you have extra books or you want to donate some, now is the time.
Mm-hmm. Opening day for MLB is in the books, and a pitcher who's not even on a major league roster yet also made headlines. Pirates prospect Paul Skeens. He announced he's donating $100 to the Gary Sinise Foundation for every strikeout he records this season.
Okay.
He had 209 at Louisiana State last year, and if he hits that mark again, it could be around $20,000.
Wow.
That's pretty cool. And that's a rookie doing that on a rookie contract. You know, you got guys making hundreds of millions of dollars, and here's this kid doing that. Shout out to him. And a big shout out to the Gary Sinise Foundation. I've met Mr. Sinise. He is everything you think he is. Great human being, putting a lot into our communities, a lot into our country, and doing a hell of a lot for our soldiers and our vets.
Nice.
Good man right there. That is going to do it for our show, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. Get ready tomorrow. Bone up on all your TV show trivia, because we are going to have some fun with the TV theme song. And you get good at that, you might win some free Culvers.
Oh, yeah.
Not a bad deal right there. Check that out. And be sure to enjoy our get us your birthdays and anniversaries. We've got 6 things to look forward to in March we're going to get into, and some other great stuff. Have a great day, Mel.
Yeah, you too, James.
Be good to each other. We'll talk to you soon and later right here at...
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.